I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. You know, Paul the Apostle knew that it was a good life living for the Lord, and that's the reason it blesses my heart so much when I'm able to get into the Word of God and read what Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has written to us. And I trust that you have your Bible open, and as we go through these lessons, and we're in Romans chapter 15 today. We're going to pick up with Romans 15 and verse 15 today, and I trust that you are receiving a blessing, not from me, but from God's Word as we study it together. Let me invite you to look at our website today, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. On the website, you'll be able to download a transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. You'll also be able to download the program itself. You'll be able to listen to these programs once again. And once again, let me remind you that this has been a series of lessons on the book of Romans. And you can go back and you can hear every lesson that we've gone through. You can replay those broadcasts on lrwm.org, and you can also download every transcript of every program that we've presented in this lesson, in this chapter, not only of chapter 15 that we're going through today, but also from chapter 1 of the book of Romans all the way through the study on the book of Romans. So look at that today, lrwm.org. Well, we left off with Romans chapter 15 and verse 15. Remember, verse 14 says, and Paul says, and I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, he's speaking to the saved people there, not only the Jewish believers, but the Gentile believers. He says that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Paul had confidence in these people at Rome. Now, verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind. He's saying, I want to remind you of something because of the grace that is given to me of God. And that's the reason he's writing to them. Now, Paul's source of authority did not come from Paul. Paul's source of authority came from God himself. The last part of that verse says, because of the grace that is given to me of God. God gave Paul the authority to present or send this letter to the people at Rome, to understand that he had the authority to admonish, to give the plan of salvation, to let the people know there that they should give the plan of salvation to other people, that the people there should get along with each other, should help one another because they are in the body of Christ. They should grow together in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he could do that, he says, because of God. God gave him the authority to do these things. Chapter 15, verse 16 says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, once again, Paul is talking about the Gentiles here. He wants the Jewish believers to know that Jesus Christ is not only their Savior, but that Jesus Christ is also the Savior of the Gentiles. It says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. And we see in that verse that Paul's mission was to minister. Now Romans chapter 15, verses 17 through 19. Paul says, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought in me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Lycrim I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul gives any credit of success to God in his travels in these verses. He says, I have thereof whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ. It's not in the things that he has done, but it's through the things which pertain to God, he says. He is serving God. And he's not going to speak of those things which Christ has not done through him. In other words, he's not going to brag about the things that he's done, because everything that he has done, he's going to speak the truth, and he's going to say that anything that has taken place in his life, it's by God. It's by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gives all the credit of his success to God in his travels. Verses 20 and 21. Yea, so I strive to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but, as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Paul's principle of ministry was this, to preach the gospel. And you can see that in verses 20 and 21. That was what he was called to do. And you can look in verse 21 and compare that with Isaiah 52:15, where it says, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Paul's simply fulfilling Scripture here. He's simply going about preaching the gospel. And might I say that you and I, as we give out the Word of God, we're fulfilling Scripture. We are giving out the Word of God. And as we do that, now, I believe that Paul the Apostle was possibly the greatest minister who ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, of course, being the greatest. But Paul the Apostle was a great man of God who preached the Word of God. And it's a great privilege for us to be in like company as Paul the Apostle, because God says that He's called us to proclaim the Word of God just like He called the Apostle. Not in the same sense as we are not apostles, but we have the same responsibility of giving out the Word of God. So our ministry is also to preach the gospel, whether you're a man or a woman. Now, when I say preach the gospel, I'm talking about proclaiming the gospel, not standing in a pulpit and preaching. I believe that God has given that to men. It talks about that in the Word of God, that it's men who have been called to fill pulpits around the world. But it's up to all of us, men and women, to give out the gospel. That's to proclaim, that's to preach the gospel to every living creature. Romans 15:22 says this, for which cause also I have been made or been much hindered from coming to you. Now, Paul wanted to come to the Roman church on several different occasions. But here in this verse, he says that there was opposition, and that prevented him from traveling to Rome. Now, of course, we know that by studying Scripture and by studying history, that Paul the Apostle went to Rome, and he was offered on the offering of sacrifice there for the Lord. Doesn't mean that he gave his life that anyone could be saved. It simply means he gave his life for the Lord. If you study this, you'll find that Paul was killed in Rome. Well, what was Paul's future plans as he was traveling to Rome? And we see this in verses 22 or 23 through 33. Verse 23 says, but now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. Paul is ready to travel. He's ready to go. And Paul believed that his work was finished in the area where he had been ministering, according to verse 23. Well, verse 24 says, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Here we see that Paul did have plans to visit Rome at that time. Verses 25 through 27 says, but now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Paul's going to Jerusalem now. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Paul is saying that he had something to do before he came to Rome. He was to deliver offerings from the Gentiles to the poor saints at Jerusalem. It's something how that we give out of our poverty, and we are to give to those in need, and we are to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have the example here of Paul talking about the saints at Jerusalem. These people were poor, but they sent to help other poor saints at Jerusalem. Possibly those people in Jerusalem didn't have as much as those that he was bringing an offering from Macedonia. And that is Christian love. Verse 28 says, "When therefore I have performed this, and I have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain." Now Paul intends to make sure the saints at Jerusalem receive their love offering, and then go on to Rome. Paul had intended, after taking the offering collected from the various churches of Greece and Asia, he intended to take this back to the needy Christians at Jerusalem, to make his next missionary journey a journey to Rome and then to Spain after all of that took place. He did not know he would reach Rome only as a prisoner, according to Acts 28 and verse 16. And as far as the record goes, he never even got to Spain. And nevertheless, we see that his inspired epistles have actually reached every nation and almost every tribe on the earth. God has blessed us through Paul the Apostle. Verse 29 says, "And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Paul expects to be blessed and encouraged by the saints at Rome because, not of himself, but because of the gospel. Verses 30 through 32. "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." There's a mutual ministry mentioned here. The saints were to pray along with Paul the Apostle. "Pray for me," Paul says, and pray for the love offering that of the saints. And verse 33 says, "Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." This is the benediction of blessing that Paul the Apostle gives. And of course, it's not the end of the book. We've got another chapter to go through, and Paul normally ended each of his epistles with a benediction such as this, but it's not the end of the letter. And we're going to see that next time. Until then, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.